If you have your Bibles, we'd ask you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 22, and we're going to begin reading in verse 31. Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 31, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan have desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny me thrice, and that thou knowest me." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for an opportunity to be preaching your word. Lord, we pray for your strength and help, Lord. We know there is nothing in us, Lord, but you're able. We pray that you would preach through me, Lord, that your word would be exalted and that your name would be lifted up above every name. And we'd be faithful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'd like to preach, the Lord being my helper, on the thought, how does Satan sift us? You know, Satan is not, he's beguiling, he's wise in his own conceit, but he really doesn't try anything new. Except what's recorded in the Word of God, he's still up to the same old tricks that he has always been up to, and that he always will be up to among God's people. Now, I want you to see that the Lord began saying, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan have desired to have you." Now, I want you to see that that is separate than the sifting, that he wanted possession of Peter. Now, we'll get to a minute, and I believe Peter was saved at this point in the sense all except the sacrifice had not been given. But, you know, many years before, he said, "Whom do ye say that I am?" in Matthew 16. And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And so he knew the Lord intimately in that way, but Satan still desired to have him. You know, before the trial of Job, what did Satan even have to do then? He had to go before God and get permission, if you will. In fact, the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" You know, what a thrill in my heart in one sense. If the Lord would bring and said, "Have you considered my servant Jim?" You know, he don't put that up to anybody. The Lord would not do that to anybody. Job's service was impeccable. Now, just like us, Job had a problem. My own opinion is Job's biggest problem was pride. I think he had a real issue with that, and it came to pass that the Lord took care of that for him as well. But when he says, "I want him," he desired to have him, then he was going to sift him. You know, until the Lord ordains it to be so, you're not going to be sifted. And if he's already has you, he don't need you again. You see what I'm saying? He will use whatever means available to him to sift you as wheat, to bring you down to nothing, really to be an embarrassment to your people. Then in verse 32 he says, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." Now, notice the essence of the prayer wasn't to excuse him from this. It was that he would be strengthened through it. You know, we immediately want, when something unforeseen comes along in our life, what we immediately want is it to stop. Don't let this happen to me. This is not right. This is not fair. Well, you know what would be fair if we's all cast alive into hell? That'd be fair. That'd be the right thing to do. So don't get into fairness with God. But I want you to see, we need that at times. We need to be sifted. We need to be brought down where we depend on nothing but God. Amen. What are you depending on? Your money? I'll tell you what, your currency change in this nation, your money don't mean nothing.
Right.
You think, well, that's impossibility. Well, you stick around. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. And so we see, he does this many times to cause us to be dependent on him. And then he says, "And when thou art converted." Now, I already said I really believed in the essence as he could be in those days Peter was saved. And the only reason I make that delineation is the sacrifice had not yet been given. And so I believe he was saved. And when he says, be converted or be changed, that means that occasionally we need that too. I mean, if he was a saved man, he says, Peter, when you're converted, you know, when you're changed, when you've made a difference, when things are not like they are now, strengthen the brethren. You know what? He already knew that Peter was going to be the pastor of First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. He already knew that. He said, I want you to be strong in that. Why else was Peter singled out? It was because he was going to be their leader. It was because he needed that extra something. And so he says, I pray that this doesn't, I pray that you fail not when it happens. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know what? He wouldn't have been able to do that if it hadn't happened to him first. You know, I don't always understand why things happen to certain people, but I do know this. You can share that experience with others down the road.
Amen.
Amen. There'll be instances where you can say, brother, sister, I've been there. I know what you're going through. The Lord brought me through it, and He doeth all things well. You can share that testimony with other people down the road. And so, that was not only that it was going to happen, it was going to be to their benefit. Verse 33, and he said unto him, Lord, I am now ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Now let me say this, don't ever boast of your flesh. You can boast of Christ, you can boast of God, but do not boast of your flesh. What that will happen, it'll always work out to your worst circumstance. It'll always bring you down to nothing when you begin to boast in the flesh. You know, I'll never do so and so. Well, you give it about 2 years and you may be more involved in so and so than you think you ever would be.
Right.
The flesh, if even the saved, listen, I was saved as a 12-year-old boy. God did something for me and I've never been the same again. Praise His name. But there was about 6 years of my life I lived as close to like a dog as you could live. And I'd say I never would do that. Well, I did. You see, Peter was bragging in the flesh. Now, if you brag on the Lord, I'm sorry. I thought I had this off. I'm sorry, y'all. This has not happened. I see no Ed. I feel like Kenny Long at my conference. But if we begin to brag on the flesh, we will always get into problems. We will always get into trouble. We will always get into difficulty when the flesh is preeminent or the flesh has come first. Now, again, the Lord knows the circumstance. He shows His omnipotence here and His omniscience. He said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now, with that said, how frequently do you deny the Lord? How frequently, and you know, none of us here say, oh, I don't even know Him. We wouldn't be guilty of that, but what about the places you go? What about when you bump into people in the Walmart? What about what you wear? What about how you present? How do you present in that way? Do we not deny Him? Now, we know that Peter verbally denied Him. Matthew's account of this is a little bit more detailed. And he finally said with a curse, I know not the man. And we say, well, we'd never do that. Well, you know, give yourself a little time and you might. And so we see the nature of the flesh, the nature of our situation is to deny Him. That's where that road always leads. So where will Satan bring you, and what will he do? Look with me in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. Excuse me. Daniel chapter 12, in the very first verse, And at that time, Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since was a nation, even to the same time. At that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one shall be found written in the book. Now, I want you to see here that Daniel predicts a time where people, God's people, will be specifically vulnerable to the devil. They'll be specifically vulnerable to attack. I believe we've arrived, and I know the church here at Olmsted has had some difficult times recently. There's been some problems arise, but you know the Bible says that except there be a great falling away, the end cannot come. You know what? You look around this morning, this is the new average, this is the new amount of people that you will see in your churches. This is the new average size. You know why? Because people do not love the Lord. And so Satan uses this as a method to try us, as a method to bring us down, that discouragement will finally take us out. Look with me in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Revelation, chapter 20, beginning in verse 7. The Bible says, And when the 1,000 years were expired, now this is after the millennial reign, this is after Christ's kingdom here on earth, but Satan's actions never change. And when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And when they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city, fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now, I want you to see in verse 10, and the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Now, the first line of defense is deception. Thinking that things are one way when they're not. Thinking that you're saved when you're really lost and hopeless. Thinking that you're doing the right thing and being rebellious to your pastor when you're not. Deception is one of his biggest keys. You know, it never ceases to amaze me when we fail and go just to go back and compare things to this book. Deception could be taken care of if you just take the circumstances and compare them to this book. Deception is over with. We have to compare Scripture to Scripture, line upon line, and until we do that, deceiving will not stop.
Amen.
You know what I found? And they're the Russellite people. I won't call them Jehovah's Witnesses because they're not. They'll come to your door, and man, what a zeal they have. You know, they embarrass us about how they go about and knock on doors and spread their trash when we could be spreading the Word of God, but their examples puts us to shame. But you know what? You always do this, and the next time they come around, you do this. Turn them over to John chapter 1 and verse 1, and where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Their Bible doesn't say that. And so I'm just saying deception is out there. It's one of his best lines of defense, if you will. And you know what? The problem is we're not discipling anymore. You know, what's the purpose of the church, really? One is to glorify and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Second is to spread the gospel into all the nations. And the last one is to disciple the believers.
Amen.
And we have woefully let that up.
Yeah.
You know why we've run a, you know why we've raised a generation that knows not God? It's because we quit discipling. You know what, these youngins, they don't need a little Wednesday evening thing where they go to the fellowship hall and hang out. What they need is teaching.
Yeah.
What they need is the Word of God.
Amen.
And then when the next generation comes, we'll be good to go. But instead, we give them an amount of entertainment. When they get up about 16, 17 years old, they're gone. You know why? Because they never have had any base level of training. And so we see that we have to continue to do this. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Verse 18. Wherefore we, meaning Paul and his missionary crew, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Now again, a work of the Satan that we see time and time again is the hindrances that he puts in our life. And if you watch God's men, especially God's men that mean business with God and that carry this gospel like they're supposed to be, there is constant hindrances. We'll use the crafts as an example. You know, they can't go from here to Dover without a truck breaking down on them. You know why? It's an hindrance. It's something that will stand in the way. And Satan uses those things. You know what? Many people would say, I'm going to throw in the towel. I'm sick of fighting this, and I'm going to do something else. What about illness? What about illness? Does he not rise that up in some men's life? You know what? Seemingly, for a while there, the more I stood true to this book, the sicker I got. And I mean literally sick in the flesh. To the point I was like, Lord, you know, what do you want from me? Well, what he wanted from me is the same thing he'd always got from me. Just don't get up. Hindrances will come. Difficulty will come. Sister Patty's been through it. You know, I wish I could tell you that it won't happen again. But I don't know that. And it may be one of you next.
That's right.
See, he not only attacks us as individuals, he attacks us as a church.
Right.
And there's hindrances that come. And so we see that Satan uses these hindrances. Another place in Daniel, and I didn't read it this morning, but as Daniel's receiving a prophecy in Daniel chapter 10, it says that, and it uses as a type the leader of, I believe, Assyria, and he said, I would have come time, and he withstood me 21 days, but eventually he arrived.
Right.
You know what? And it wasn't because his power was greater than God. He wanted to see what Daniel was made out of. If God wanted him there like that, he'd have been there. Because
right.
He's omnipotent. He's ready to do it. But you know what? Sometimes there's just a window of wait where you don't know what's going to be next. And if you've been down that road, you'll find it again. Yeah. When they, I had those seizures for years and they couldn't really tell me why. And they finally found some places on my brain. And my neurologist, he and I become very good friends. I really like him. He's an Indian man, but he's a really good man. And he said, Larry, I can't tell you that it's not cancer. And he said, we won't know for a week to 10 days. You know, that was, you know, what else could I do?
Right.
I'd like to have known the next day. I wished he could have told me right then.
Right.
But see, if it's 21 days or 10 days, I had some time to wait. You're not going to get an immediate answer. You know, we live in an instant day where we want an instant God, and He's able to do whatever He will, but sometimes it's for our benefit just to wait.
Right.
To stand exactly where you are and wait. And so we see he hinders as well. Look at me in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 21. We see a different aspect or another thing that the devil uses. And not only hinders us, but hinders us as a people. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles 21, and we're going to just read verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. Now I want you to see that the tool that David used was provoking. You know what? We should always be very careful how we respond to something.
Amen. Amen.
You know, sad to say, when I was a young man, I was a lot better at it than I am today. You know, most people say the opposite. I have to be very careful with my tongue because I'm so often very quick to respond when it'd be a whole lot better to wait. See, the devil provokes us with circumstance. He provokes us with things in our life, and knowing the nature of the flesh, he knows we're going to fly off the handle. You know what? The best thing, if you're not sure to say something, is just to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
If you don't know what to say and you don't know that it's authored of God, just keep your mouth shut. Now, that's easy to say, a lot more difficult to institute, but that is exactly what we should do. And it's not just provoking in the mouth. He provoked him to collect a census of the nation of Israel. Sounds very benign, doesn't it? You know why God said, no, don't do it? That was the problem with it.
Right.
Another thing, you know what? When you begin to count numbers, and I've got this many chariots, and I've got that many people in the army, and I've got this many, you begin to be pretty confident in yourself.
Yep. Right.
And he said, I don't want you doing that. And so, in his rebellion... And then I want you to know also, he provoked David to do it. There's always an individual. Now, the fallout came on Israel. And you remember that when you began to be used of the devil yourself. The fallout's coming on this church.
Yep.
The fallout's coming this way. But the instrument was David. You know, that's very humbling to me. Especially you, brother. The instrument is often the leader. You know why? Because he knows if you're a good flock, and I believe you are, you'll follow Brother Jim in what pretty much what he says to do. That's a good church that does that, but it is also a very huge responsibility. And this was not the only time that David had been presented this, so I want you to see he stands up against this. He says, this is what you need to do. Look with me in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 4, probably the most famous of the times that he approached people. When he approached the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want you to see that he didn't use anything different on the Lord Jesus than he uses on us. He was the same circumstance. It was the same enticements. It's always the same thing. One thing he didn't realize, or at least he didn't recognize the deity of Christ. He didn't know he was talking to God in the flesh, or he didn't respect the fact that he was talking to God in the flesh. The first verse of chapter 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, I want you to see, if you have a good King James Bible, that S will be capitalized. He was led up by the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
You're going to be put in circumstances that is just for you. And you think, well, Lord, this has happened to me. Am I out of the will of God? No. You're right where you need to be if you're following Him. See, the sinless Son of God approaching this mountain led to the very point where He knew He would cross paths with the devil, and He knew that He would be tempted. So we are too. Temptation is a huge tool of the devil. Verse 2, and when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. You know, it's nothing wrong with biblical fasting.
Right.
Our people's about give it up. Handed over the Pentecostals and that crew. But you know what? What did they do when they ordained Paul?
Right.
And after they'd fasted and laid hands on him, sent him away. It's very biblical. You want to get down to mean business with God? Start fasting.
Yep.
It'll improve your prayer life tremendously. And listen, it don't have to be food. I think food should be involved, but what about fasting from that TV? But that is a fast. That is setting something in aside in your life that is important. And so we see that as well. And, you know, fasting will bring you closer to God.
Amen.
And obviously the devil did not understand that. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Now, two things. First of all, I want you to see that always these enticements will come through the flesh. Hunger is every one of us has experienced it. Most of the time, I will say in our nation, we're wanting to eat. We're not hungry. And there is a difference. I mean, we've been so abundantly blessed My generation don't know the difference, but there is a difference. And so I want you to see after this fast, he truly was hungry, and he said, well, make them stones into some loaf bread and eat up. And you know what? This understanding the power of the sinless Son of God, he could have done it.
Right.
He could have done it. But it didn't make it right. And see, that's the thing where we live today. You know, listen, and I fully believe He'll change your nature from the inside out, but we are under the full sovereign grace of God. Don't let it be a tempter to sin.
Amen.
Because the devil will bring that. You're saved. You can pretty much do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. See? And the devil understands that, and he says, you know, Jesus, I know you're hungry. Let's see what kind of bread you can make. Now notice what he says in response to that. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now let me say this also. The devil understands the Scriptures. Or I say this, he knows the Scriptures probably better than you do. And he will bring stuff like that up. He'll bring those things around. And listen, when you bunch of heretic people get around and want to question what you believe, you know, there are verses in the Bible that says, except ye be baptized. And they'll throw that junk at you. He knew the Word of God. He understood what it meant. He knew the Word of God. I say he didn't understand it, but he brought that to him.
Right.
Said, you know, this is what the Bible says, verse 7. And Jesus said, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, again, I want you to say this. He was quoting Scripture, and it was true. If he had flung himself off, I have no doubt nothing would have happened. Unless he willed it to be so. You remember when they came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in John's Gospel that portrays him as God. And he said, I'm seek ye, and it knocked him down. You know what? He didn't have to go. He yielded himself to that.
Amen.
At any moment, he could have called 10 leagues of angels to his assistance, and it would have been over with. He could have threw himself off the temple. But he humbled himself. And he says, you know, he says, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, two things. Number one, the allurements of this world will bring you down.
Yep. Amen.
You know, there's nothing wrong with having a nice home as long as you know where that fits into your service of God.
Amen.
You know, when me and Donna got out of nursing school, and before we came to the fact that the Bible simply said she's to stay at home. I mean, two nursing... You know what? When she quit, she was making more money than me. And she was an OB nurse. She was a specialty nurse. But, you know, when we got out, we wanted all the things of the world. We wanted a big, nice Cape Cod brick house on a certain number of acres. And you know what? God knew that's not what we needed. There was an allurement there. And you know what? Financially, we could have had it. And Brother Jim's been there. You know what? Where we live at? On 16 hilly acres in Stewart County in a double wide. But that's where I need to be, you know?
Right. Amen.
There's a huge difference. The Lord had a different plan for our life. And listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, He was already King.
Amen. Amen.
He wasn't going to be honored yet as King, but He was already King. And you know what? And this is my debate, and I've heard different men, and you can study this the rest of the week. Could the devil have fallen through. If he said, okay, I want it. I think to some extent he could, at least for a while. The Bible says he's the prince and the power of the air.
Amen.
This place, you know why this place is depraved? It's because it belongs to him. There's 40 acres next to me and Donna. And when we married, or when we moved out there rather, the part on the creek was just like ours. It was all cleared off. It's pretty and went way back in there. The next time y'all come to the house, you'll find that there's bramble and bushes higher than my head, no cedar trees. You know why? The earth took it back. That's the curse of the earth. These things are not to last very long.
Right.
But the devil makes them alluring, doesn't he? Sign your life away to get almost nothing. And so we see then that the devil uses these enticements and these allurements to leave the things of God. Notice what he says in verse 7, and Jesus said, is it written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I'm sorry, verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Now I want you to see one thing you can't do. You can't take that get thee hence, Satan. You know why he was able to do that? Because he was a sinless son of God. Don't try it. You know, I've seen Pentecostal people, I'm going to cast out the devil. Well, you better read the Bible again. He's more powerful than you are.
Right. Amen.
He can't damage your soul, but he can destroy your life in a moment's notice. You're no match for him.
Right.
You know what? In fact, as Brother Jim was saying, the only thing you can do, draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. That's the only thing. You're no match for him. You know, and so we see then, in the end, that temptation, using every carnal aspect of the flesh, is how he used it. Now, two more places. In the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Second Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 11. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, what was he saying with that? Read verse 10. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage. You know what? More than anything else, Satan wants an advantage. He wants an advantage in your life. He wants an advantage in this church's life. He wants an advantage here at Olmsted. And, you know, many times, sadly enough, we give it to him. You know why? He says here, because we're not ignorant of his devices, but we are. You know, if we're not constantly discipled, we'll become ignorant in New Testament of Satan's devices, his methods, the thing that he uses. You know, I searched through Scripture. I heard a young man preach several years ago, and I saw what he was saying, but you can see it in the life of Job. He said the favorite device of the devil is discouragement. To make you want to stop. If it's illness, if it's finances, if it's church trouble, whatever it may be, if he can get you discouraged, you'll want to quit. Think about the life of Job and the trial that he went through. He lost all his finances in a matter of seconds. He lost all that stuff that he had trusted in. He lost his 10 children. What was his response? Naked came I into this world, and naked will I leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
Now that was good.
Yeah.
But read the other 36 chapters. He got down to nothing. You know, a lot of people are critical of Eliphaz and the others that came by to see him. But you know, in one sense, they were good friends. Because as hard as it was, they said, Job, there's a problem somewhere. There's a difficulty somewhere. Now, they didn't say it in the nicest way. But there was a problem, wasn't it? Read the last four chapters, and the Lord makes it pretty clear. He brought him back around. See, the devil loves to get those things in our life, and we can't get them out. You know, things is better left. Some of the things in my life that I would rather forget is the ones that I remember the most.
Right.
And that's a sad truth. One more place, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Second Corinthians 11, verse 14, the Bible says, wherefore? I'm sorry, wrong verse. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, the last one I'm covering, there's many more that the devil uses daily, but it's transforming something that looks, that is really horrible, into something that looks good, an angel of light. Something that, you know, I never cease to be amazed. I work with a lot of elderly people, and especially when I was in home health, I'd see them poor little people just writing out more of the money than they had, checks to these crazy TV preachers. I mean, just being taken advantage of, money that they could use for groceries or gas for their stove or something, and just giving it away. You know why? Because of stuff like this right here. They looked good. Benny Hinn and that mess of a crowd. You know what they are? They're just Satan transformed into an angel of light. There's
Amen.
Nothing more.
Amen.
Back home, and again, y'all don't know him, so it don't matter. There's a boy that me and Donna graduated with, and he was more reprobate than me, if you can imagine that. And the Lord called him to preach. He's a Pentecostal preacher. And, man, their stuff, it looks good. They have a huge building on your way down to Dover on 79 out there. They have more people than you can shake a stick at. It looks good. Now they have a Clarksville campus, whatever that means. And looks good, don't it? He's transformed himself into an angel of light.
Right.
You know what they preach? They preach you have to receive the Holy Ghost. Got five open sodomites in the group.
Right.
Now, you think God's in that thing? But it looks good, don't it? When you don't have room in a building that seats about 500, man, that looks good, don't it? But all it is Satan transforming himself into an angel of light. You watch things out. When you see something, you back it up with that word.
Amen.
And be sure
Amen.
That you know what you have. That's the only way that you can avoid him. That's the only way that you will be you'll be found doing well. I love this church. I love what she stood for down through the years. But you know what? Don't let that be your only thing either.
Right.
Search out this word. What did Paul say to the Galatians? You did run well. Whom? Not who. Whom hath bewitched you? That means it can happen to any of us, don't it?
That's right.
It means that any time we could be in the same circumstance. Keep your eye on the devil.